In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, as we said, we're celebrating the Epiphany of our Lord, the day we recall the visit of the wise men to the Christ child. There are certain points that pastors almost always bring up about the narrative of the wise men whenever they preach on this text. So let's start with those. Often the wise men are called kings. The wise men are not called kings in Matthew's gospel. Both the Old Testament reading and our psalm talk about kings coming to worship the Lord. That is probably where the tradition of calling the wise men kings comes from. While they may not have been literal kings, they do appear to have been from the educated upper class of the day. They may have even been royalty. The Bible doesn't say exactly how many wise men there were. Three is inferred by the number of the gifts that are mentioned, which we'll say more about later. But there could have been two wise men or 100 wise men because of the plural. We simply don't know. Not knowing the exact number of wise men and knowing that they were not called kings may explain why the hymn, "We Three Kings of Orient Are," is not found in our hymnal. Personally, I sang that hymn growing up, and I rather like it, despite the inaccuracies. One of the things I like about "We Three Kings of Orient Are" is that it explains the meaning of the three gifts. Isaiah's prophecy, our Old Testament reading, mentions frankincense and gold. Gold is easy to explain. It's gold. It's a gift fit for a king. The gold represents Christ's kingship. Frankincense was not a Middle Eastern ancient horror movie. Frankincense was burned in temples as an offering to a deity. The gift of frankincense says to us that Jesus is God. Years ago, my daughter gave me a bar of soap with frankincense and myrrh as a Christmas present, and I keep that in my office. In fact, it's in my pocket right now. I love the aroma. Whenever I smell it, it lifts my spirits. Myrrh can be used as a perfume or as an ointment. It can also be used as a painkiller. Myrrh points to Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. As the song "We Three Kings" puts it, myrrh is bitter perfume, breathes of life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone-cold tomb. The three gifts taken together show us that Jesus is King and God and sacrifice. The wise men studied the stars. We might call them astronomers or astrologers. The line between science, astrology, and the occult was not so clearly drawn then. The study of science grew out of theology as people of faith attempted to understand God's creation better. Now, we do not approve of astrology, the occult science, but it's easy to see how someone could imagine that the movement of the heavenly bodies might affect events here on earth, the way that the moon affects the tides. Certainly, God, the creator of all, can choose to use physical signs to convey his messages if he so desires. Jesus said that there would be signs in the heavens before his return. Whatever it was that the wise men saw, it convinced them that a new king had been born in Judea. The wise men were wise enough to know that. What they saw exactly We don't know. Artists and hymn writers and others have guessed that perhaps they saw a comet or an alignment of stars and planets or some other dramatic celestial event, maybe a supernova. I've looked at star charts for December 25th, 1 AD, and nothing unusual can be found there. Perhaps this was a one-of-a-kind phenomena that God cooked up just for that occasion. That seems likely to me, but again, we just don't know. The typical nativity scene with the angels and wise men all at the manger together is not exactly what the Bible describes. Luke's account of Jesus' birth has angels and shepherds, but no wise men. Matthew's account has no shepherds or angels, but has the wise men finding Jesus in a house. When King Herod realized that the wise men had tricked him, he sent out his death squads to kill all male babies in Bethlehem under 2 years old. The arrival of the wise men then must have happened sometime well after Jesus was born. That is why in the church year we celebrate the Epiphany 12 days after Christmas to represent that passage of time. Despite whenever they arrived and whatever the star was, or even how many wise men there were, the most significant thing about the wise men visiting the Christ child is that they were the first Gentiles to worship Jesus. The Jews were chosen by God to bring the Messiah into the world. But salvation was not just for the Jews alone. God expanded the reach of his salvation to all peoples and all nations through Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection is for everyone, absolutely everyone. That is what the Epiphany tells us. Now, let's change gears just a little bit. Imagine the experience of the wise men when they first saw that star and understood what it meant. Perhaps that is what they had been looking for their whole lives. They wanted to follow that star and find the newborn infant king, but they knew that the journey would be long and hard. It meant leaving their homes and their families. They couldn't be exactly sure where they were going or what they would find when they got there. Attentive to the Holy Spirit, trusting a God they barely knew, they decided to embark on the journey. God's people always seem to be going somewhere. God called Abraham to leave his home and go to a far-off land that he had never seen. That must have been hard for Abraham to do, but he had faith in God. In his new homeland, God guarded and prospered Abraham. Abraham's son and his grandson, Isaac and Jacob, both had to travel great distances to find their wives. Through their children, God's promises were passed down from one generation to the next. Jacob's son Joseph, through some very nasty circumstances, found himself far from home in Egypt, living as a slave. But God was with Joseph even there, and God raised him to a position of power and authority. When famine struck his father and his brother's homeland, they went to Egypt, and there Joseph, their long-lost brother, provided for them. This was all part of God's plan. When years passed, and there was a different Pharaoh on the throne in Egypt, he enslaved the Israelites living there. But God heard his people's cries and sent Moses to free them. God led his people through the Red Sea to freedom. Then God led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night for 40 years, feeding them with manna along the way until he had them take possession of the promised land. Mary and Joseph had to travel to Bethlehem for the census. The prophecy was fulfilled then that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. Like Joseph in the Old Testament, Jesus' foster father Joseph also went to Egypt. And in that way, God saved the Holy Family from Herod's wrath. When the time was right, God told Joseph to take Mary and Jesus back home. Jesus never traveled very far in the world, but his ministry took him all over what we today would call the Holy Land, culminating in his final trip to Jerusalem, the capital city, where he would be capitally punished. But then he rose again. His apostles took the message of his grace and salvation, the message of the resurrection, then all over the world. Our forebears in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod came to the United States from the territory of Prussia in modern-day Germany in the 1820s to escape oppression, religious oppression, and to practice their confessional Lutheran faith unencumbered. Immigrants from Germany, including the Vosslers, the Gallmans, and the Brandeses, those families founded this congregation in the 1850s. And this church has become a beacon of orthodoxy for people who came to Wellsville to work in the tanning industry and then the oil companies, Dresser Rand, Jones Memorial Hospital, and so many other places. Many of you here today have made journeys, going off to college, going off to the military, off to new jobs and new careers, and then some of you have come home again. Our congregation has supported mission in foreign lands. It has sent many young men into the ordained ministry, and we in those ways have taken the gospel to places where we ourselves could not go. Who knows where God will lead us next? God's people always seem to be at their best when they are willing to step out in faith and go wherever it is God is leading them. Lately, I found that song lyrics can sometimes express my thoughts better than I can myself. This is an old song from a musician, contemporary Christian musician at the time, named Bruce Cockburn. And I think in some ways it summarizes our Christian missionary calling. He writes, "These shoes have seen some strange streets, strangers still to come. Sometimes the prayers of strangers are all that keep them from trying to stay static, something even death can't do. Everything is motion, to the motion be true." How is God moving in your life? Where is God calling, and what is God calling you to do in this new year, 2025? What does God have for you to do? In his grace, he will give you answers to those questions in time, just as he did for the wise men. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.